week four, I believe. And thank you guys so much for coming out. And I think it's an amazing opportunity to have all this stuff that lined up. You know, we sang the 12 Spies song today. The skit today was about, you know, Oren, who's compared to the 10 spies. And now, as a character that portrays Oren, I get to preach about the 12 spies. And my sermon title today is Keep Walking. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to stay in Numbers. And usually, you know, when I'm reading my Bible, whenever I think of Numbers, I'm like, oh man, here we go, the names and the names and the names and the names. And actually, there's so many good content in Numbers. And if you guys would bear with me, then we'll learn something from God's word today. So Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 20. And it says, "And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come into Hamath." Logic and knowledge in the world today is held up so highly. If you don't have logic or knowledge, then some people today will probably either call you ignorant or an idiot. And I think logic and knowledge is a great tool. I think they're gifts from God. A South Korean scientist, Yong-un Kim, he is deemed the smartest man in the world with an IQ of 276. He declared that Jesus is God. And you can look this up. This is the smartest man in the world. IQ 276. He declared that Jesus Christ is God. You see, it's not knowledge or logic that hinders the work of God, but instead, it's fear. See, 2 weeks ago, when I preached about Esther, I said a quote, and it's, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but obedience in spite of it." The 10 spies knew the Lord's promises, but failed to obey due to fear of what was in the land. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Today, many Christians are missing out on the promises of God due to fear and unbelief. Are you one of the 10 or part of the 2? Please notice with me today 4 areas of this story that we can learn from and apply to our lives. First, we see an enriched region. In chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And Moses sent them out to spy the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether there be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities that they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath." So it was finally time for the Israelites to enter the promised land. You see, they escaped from Egypt. They received the law at Mount Sinai. And now was the time to act. The people had devised to send in 12 spies, one person each from their respective tribe. And each of these men were seen as leaders from their tribe. And they were tasked with scouting the land, not to determine whether or not they should go in, because God had already commanded them to, but instead to gather intel. And as we read, this land is said to be very fruitful, and it was the time of the first ripe grapes. This land was everything God promised to Israel and more. Verse 22 says, "And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were." Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. "And they came unto the brook of Eshol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it in between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs." The place was called the brook Eshol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. You see, compared to the wilderness Israel had just come from, this promised land was probably like heaven, right? If they're wandering in the desert for a long time, they come to this amazing land that God had promised to them, and this place was it, and it's immensely better. It's said to be a land flowing with milk and honey, clusters of grapes so large they had to be held between two staffs just to carry them, and geographically, Canaan had coastal plains and hills, fertile fields. They were blessed agriculturally and had a ton of livestock. See, Canaan had everything. Not only that, the spies were in there for 40 days. They had to search out the whole place for 40 days. I feel like if I really tried, I can search out Kingstown and know it back and forth in a week, if I really tried. But these spies were in Canaan for 40 days, looking at all the fruits, looking at all the places, and it took them 40 days to come back. And that's a long time, guys. And what a picture that God's promises aren't only sufficient for our lives, but it is overly abundant in blessings that we don't deserve. But there was a problem. Yes, this land was extremely abundant, but it was also filled with a lot of enemies. Verse 26 said, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan." Could I have seven volunteers? You, Joe, here. You want to do it? Quentin, Elian, you want to come up? That's six. One more. Right here? Come on up. Okay, guys, come over here. And get in a straight line starting here. Is that seven? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
There you go.
Cool. All right. So here's what we're going to do. Okay? We're gonna go in a line starting with you. And you're going to go to one of these cups. Some of these cups are promises. Okay? Can all of you say that? Promises. And some of these cups are problems. Okay, can you say that with me? Problems. Okay, so Joe, can you come over here? And I want you to lift your hand over any of these cups, and I just want you to keep it there. And when you keep it there, I want the audience to either say, yes, it's a good cup, or no, it's a bad cup. And guys, I mix these up. I probably don't even know what's under these. You guys just have to guess, okay? All right, so pick any cup, lift your hand over it. Okay, audience, what do we think? Is it a good cup or a bad cup?
Bad cup.
Bad cup? Is it a bad cup? All right, so, Joe, lift it up. It's a problem. Okay, so there's giants. So this represents our giants, right? That's okay, you can step to the side. Okay, can I have my next volunteer? Quentin, put your hand over any one of the cups. Joe, you can step here. I have something for after, okay? Anyone, this one? Okay, not yet, okay? Do we think it's a good cup or a bad cup?
Good
cup? Okay, not yet. Quentin, man, you know, that last one was a rock. You know, and what if, you know, I saw some bugs outside, and you know, what if I put one in there? Would you really want to pick that cup up and have the bug crawl up your arm and everything? I'm not saying I did do it, but if I did, hypothetically, a bug would be on your arm right now. And do you really want that cup? Are you sure? You know, it's kind of iffy. I feel like it's like an iffy cup. Are you sure you want that cup? Okay, you can pick it up. Oh, it's a dud. Okay, a giant. That's okay, Quentin. You can step to the side here, okay? All right, Eliana, all right, put your hand over one of these cups. Which cup do you choose? That one? Oh, okay. I didn't think we'd get all the duds out, problems out early. Okay, Eliana, you can step over here. Okay, hand right here. Okay, audience, do you think it's a good cup or a bad cup?
Good cup?
Okay. Are you sure? Okay. So we have a grape lollipop. Okay, everyone give him a hand. Okay, you can have a seat. Okay, you three say it. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, you come up now. All right, there's four cups left. Put your hand over a cup. All right, good cup or bad cup? Good cup? Go for it. Oh, it's a bad cup. Oh, no, a giant. Okay, you can step right here. I have something for after, okay? All right. I guess that leaves three cups, okay? Oh, three cups. Do you want to come up? Yeah, okay. So, put your hand over a cup. Which one? Anyone? Okay, that one? Good cup or bad cup? Good cup? Is it a good cup? Yay, it's a good cup. Cousin Grace, go and have a seat. You can have your piece of candy. Okay, Matthew. That one, are you sure? Are you positive? Matthew, there are so many people. Yeah, so many people have pulled a rock. Okay, I don't know, but the odds are kind of against you right now. But if you really want to, good cup or bad cup? Good cup. Oh, you got the mega cup. Good job, Matthew. Okay, and now you have the last cup. Audience, good cup or bad cup? Good cup. Go ahead and try it.
Oh, wait. I think Noah flips his cup back over.
That's okay. I'll have something for after, okay? So, why did I do this illustration? I'll have a lollipop for you after, okay? Why did I do this illustration? Okay? Some of you are me asking, why did I do this? So, focus not on all these problem cups, but focus on the promises of God. But Tim, there are literally kids sitting here with no candy. You know, they literally got the problem cup. What's up with that? God, yes, you can. Don't throw the rocks at each other. Yeah. But God does not always take the problems away. And you see, the problems will sometimes stay in your life. The problems will disappear. But it is through those problems, through those fears, through those doubts, through those giants in your life, kids, that you can rely on the promises of God because they are so much greater. Everyone, give these kids a hand as they have a seat. Whoever got a rock. Who got a rock? You got a rock? You got a rock? You guys got rocks? Okay. Oh, you got a rock? Oh, you got a rock? I'll give you a lollipop after, okay? Thank you. You can have a seat. All right, give them one more round of applause. All right. So the land was filled with the enemies of the Israelites. It had walled cities, the children of Anak. And Anak was a person associated with giants. So these guys were huge. You know, it's even said that Goliath, people are hypothesizing that Goliath was probably a descendant of Anak. But guys, the Amalekites were sworn enemies of Israel. The Hittites were major powers who built cities. The Jebusites and the Amorites held the high ground. And the Canaanites outnumbered them immensely. And I don't blame these spies for seeing these people as threats. These guys were pretty big threats. But God was greater. Verse 30 says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Caleb, one of the two faithful spies, spoke up against the turmoil and said, "Let's go then. You know, we got it. God promised us this, so the land is ours." And Caleb was right. You see, this wasn't reckless behavior from Caleb, but faith-filled trust in the Lord that he will keep his promises. And yes, you'll have enemies. And yes, they'll be bigger than you. They're going to be stronger than you. They're going to be faster than you. They're going to be smarter than you. But God is greater than they are. And guys, we must hold on to the promises of God because it is through our weakness, it is through our limits that we can hold on to the promises of God Almighty so that we can overcome our enemies. And I really wish the story went how it did. You know, I really wish it ended there. They girded up the loins. I really wish they charged into battle after that, but they didn't. You see, there weren't only two spies. There were 12. And the other 10 gave, secondly, an evil report. Verse 31 says, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature.' And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." See, these 10 spies were respective leaders in each of their tribes chosen to go out to spy out the land. They brought back this fear-filled report and focused on all the problems of this land instead of the promises of God. This evil report filled the children of Israel's minds and clouded it with fear and doubt. Guys, our fear is contagious. Fear is contagious. It is a whole lot easier to get a crowd to run away than to get a crowd to move forward. And guys, as leaders in our household and leaders in the church and leaders in the school, workplace, we must be careful to be an example, not of fear, but an example of faith and courage and the promises of God. Verse 1 of chapter 14 says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt.'" You see, the 10 spies' evil report affected the whole congregation of Israel. They wish they were back in Egypt where they were literally enslaved, where so many of them were killed. And guys, fear not only is contagious, but it will always blur out The goodnesses, the goodness of the promises of God. Goodnesses isn't a word. But fear will always blur the goodness of the promises of God. Because of letting fear take control of their lives, they plotted to go back into Egypt. Moses and Aaron pleaded with Israel not to. In verse 5 of chapter 14, it says, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of this land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Moses, Aaron, and the two faithful spies tried their best to remind the people that God still promised them this land. And they probably give the best pep talk in their life. And I don't know about you, but when I was in high school football, one thing we love to say to each other is that we say the other team is like breakfast, right? We eat them for breakfast, right? And in verse 9, these leaders said, they are bread for us. So the fences are down. And if the God says we can take them, then we're going to take them. And I really wish they listened, guys, but Israel did not react well to that. You see, in verse 10, it says, "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel." They thought of stoning Moses, Aaron, and the two spies with stones. But the Lord appeared before the children of Israel. First, we saw an enriched region. Secondly, an evil report. But notice with me, thirdly, an encouraging revelation. So the Lord appeared unto the children of Israel and the leaders like a father ready to rebuke and discipline his children. In verse 11, "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them and make of thee a greater nation, mightier than they." And God pretty much has had it up to this point. You know, all the and guys, if you read before this, God is a very, very, very patient God. And guys, he showed the children of Israel mercy after mercy after mercy. And he is ready to wipe out them with pestilences and illness. But Moses does something amazing and he intervenes. And verse number 13, chapter 14, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou hast brought us up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now, I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." In verse 20, "And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." And what a beautiful picture of salvation that is. Just as Moses interceded for the children of Israel, Jesus Christ interceded for us on the cross. And he pardoned us from eternal death and hell and separation from God. The wrath of God was satisfied on the cross with the payment of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this encouraging revelation is what drives us to act in faith and not in fear. See, the same God who saved us from hell is the same God who keeps his promises. See, God will never leave you or forsake you, and he will never go back on his word. But God can only work within us if we allow him to. Faith is not being fearless. Courage is not being fearless, but walking in spite of it. First, we saw an enriched land. Secondly, an evil report. Thirdly, an encouraging revelation, but finally, notice with me, an evident response. So how should we, as Christians, respond to and apply this story to our lives? You see, this story has a bittersweet ending. See, God did pardon the lives of the children of Israel, but did not allow their generation to enter the promised land due to their unbelief other than the few faithful that did believe. Verse 26 of chapter 14 says this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which I murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, but save Caleb son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, will I bring them in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised." Sin will always take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Christians, please don't miss out on the promises of God due to fear and unbelief. God never goes back on his word, and you can trust in his promises to prosper. And don't make the same mistake the children of Israel made. You see, however, God allowed their children to enter the land in their stead. You see, God's promise is going to happen no matter what. God doesn't go back on his promise. God's promise will happen no matter what, whether it be with you, whether it be in the next generation. But God's promise that he's going to win will happen whether you're in it or not, or whether if I'm in it or not. And that is the sovereignty of God. And in the book of Joshua, the children of this generation successfully take Canaan and enter the promised land. So how should we respond to this story? Simply trust God. Trust in his promises and keep walking despite fear. First, we saw an enriched land. Secondly, an evil report. Thirdly, an encouraging revelation. And finally, an evident response. And if I'm being honest, I cannot tell you how many times I've let fear overcome my life. Times that I haven't acted in faith, I didn't trust in the promises of God, and I don't know how many promises that I've missed out on because of that. But one thing I know is that God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. And if his promises are true, which they are, then he can redeem me and he will forgive me. And it's through his strength and through my limits and my weaknesses I can hold on to the Almighty God and he can carry me through. This week, let us seek not to be of the 10, but of the 2. If we could all bow our heads and close our eyes, we won't have a piano for this invitation, but I don't want anyone to look around, and you don't have to raise your hand. I want you to ponder this in your heart, but I'm just going to ask a question. If some of you would say, you know, to the Lord that, you know, I don't know what you're going through, you know, I'm not omnipotent as God is, but no one in here knows your situation, but God does. And he can help you through that. And guys, can I encourage you that you can hold on to the strength, the promises of God, and not your own strength. And let me encourage you to pray and ask God for help in time of need. And I cannot stress enough how important it is to not cower in fear, but to have confidence in the strength of your Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much just for opportunity to open your word today, Lord, as we collectively learn from your word. And I know that I've been convicted making this message, Lord, and I've learned a lot. But Lord, I just pray that you know what everyone in here's situation is, what they're going through, what's going on at school, what's going on at work, what's going on at the home with the finances, Lord. And I just pray that you would help us, Lord, and that we would not cower in fear, Lord, but have the courage, despite those fears, to hold on to your promises, Lord, and to gain strength from those. And Lord, I pray that we would all go on our way, Lord, as we go home, as we go back, as we lay our heads on our pillow, Lord, that we would remember your promises, Lord, and that we would hold on to you and ask you to grow our faith in you. And Lord, I thank you so much again just for salvation, Lord. Please bless us on our way. Keep us healthy, Lord. Keep us safe. We love you so much, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.